own vehicle before dropping her and the car off later. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News Radio.
Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling is a live call-in radio program providing doctrinal dialogue, cultural commentary, and insightful interviews with some of today's foremost Christian authors and leaders. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Traveler's Rest. The goal of the church and the radio program is to seek the glory of God in the salvation of sinners and the sanctification of the saints by the ministry of the Word. For more information, go to www.knowingthetruth.org. Here with today's edition of Knowing the Truth is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome into this Thursday edition of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. This is Pastor Kevin Bowling, and let me ask you a very simple question right at the very top of the program today. Do you have conflict in your life? Is there any conflict going on in any area of your life? I feel pretty confident that I could say that if you're breathing, you have conflict in some aspect of your life. We are fallen individuals. We live in a fallen world. There are other fallen individuals around us. And so I think it's pretty safe to say that all of us have some conflict that exists in our life. We encounter it at home. We encounter it in the workplace, at school, and even in our churches. All around us, there is tension. Tension exists. And disputes persist in all of these different relationships that we have or that we're involved in our life. Well, I've got some good news for you. The bad news is there is conflict. The good news is God has equipped his people to be able to deal with conflict in their life. You know, some people, the way they deal with conflict is they just ignore it. They don't do anything about it. Others, they don't handle it in the right way. They handle it in the wrong way. The one wrong way would be just ignoring it, but they handle it in wrong ways other than that as well. They deal with it in a way that is not what the Bible or the way that the Bible instructs us to handle this. I've got more good news because there is a guide, a Christian guide to handling our conflicts that has just been produced by Crossway, www.crossway.org, Crossway Publishing, and the author is our special guest on the program today. The author that I'm speaking about is author Dr. Robert D. Jones. He's a biblical counseling professor at Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary. He is also a church elder. He's a certified biblical counselor and an adjunct instructor and church reconciliation trainer with Peacemakers Ministries, and his book is really insightful on this particular subject that we're looking at today. In fact, the guide is, it says on the website for Crossway, I think they put it in a very good way, they say it's biblical, it relies upon the absolute authority, sufficiency, and life-giving power of God's Spirit-breathed Word. It is Christ-centered. It depends on the forgiving and empowering grace of Jesus Christ. It's practical. It provides concrete action steps and case examples, discussion questions, and suggested language to handle specific situations. And it's proven. It offers tried and true methods from a pastor, a professor, a counselor, a certified Christian conciliator, and who has led couples and churches and Christian schools to make peace for over 25 years. Listen, today's broadcast is going to be worth the cost, which to you is absolutely free, but it's certainly going to be worth it for you to tune in and to listen to the entire broadcast here today. You may want to call some others to tune in as well. Let me say right at the very top of the broadcast then, you are certainly welcome and invited to participate in the program today. We've set up a couple ways for you to be able to do that, and for your participation today, I will be giving away a couple of copies of the book during the broadcast. We have a toll-free number set up. It's good nationwide. It's 1-888-660. WLFJ. That's 1-888-660-9535. Also, I have email up and running, and that email is kevin@knowingthetruth.org. That's K-V-I-N at knowingthetruth.org. Let's talk about peacemaking today here on the broadcast around this brand-new book called Pursuing Peace by Dr. Robert Jones. Dr. Jones, welcome to the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast.
Hello, Kevin. I'm glad to be here today.
Dr. Jones, the beginning of your book rightfully points out that the Scripture has much to say about finding hope in the God of peace in your opening chapter. And when we hear those words, I think rightfully so, and you start off this way in your book, we're talking about the peace that comes between sinners and an offended God, the peace that is purchased for us by the Lord Jesus Christ at the cross of Calvary. Would you like to start there, talking about peace in your book, and then we can go on from that point?
Now, the Scripture has a lot to say about peace, and it begins, as we think about it, with the God of peace. God himself self-describes himself as the God of peace, and I think you're right for us to think about, first, our own relationship with God. God has made peace through the cross of Jesus Christ so that we have a right relationship with him. And then, of course, we have ongoing growth, and we grow closer to be more like him. And really, it's from that, and that becomes a bit of a model and a source of power for us to then engage others in pursuing peace.
Mm-hmm. And when we think about that subject, obviously we talk about that subject a lot on the radio program with other authors and theologians, Christian leaders from across the country. We talk about the various elements of the atonement and the person and work of Christ are constant themes on the broadcast. So we've developed that quite in depth on this program. But when we talk about that, not only has Christ done something for us, but Christ has done something in us. And part of what the work that Christ has done is to put us into the ministry of reconciliation. And that obviously is dealing primarily with people's spiritual life and reconciling them back to God. But it's broader than that. Is that correct?
Yes, I think that when we think of God's work, it includes us having right relationships with each other, but we also can think of peace in terms of what we call inner peace, the work of the Spirit to bring us contentment and deal with anxiety. And then, of course, there's a future peace forthcoming as we wait for the new heaven and earth with the home of righteousness and peace at that point. So it's a very holistic picture of peace. But, you know, Kevin, I think one of the things that I've found in my pastoral ministry and just working with churches and pastors over the years is those of us who are conservative, Bible-believing evangelicals, and, you know, many of your listeners, I would assume that, we have done a pretty good job of recapturing the gospel of the truth of Christ making peace with us. But sometimes we don't do as good a job of applying that in our relationships on the horizontal level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wholeheartedly agree, and unfortunately I'd have to say that's true in my life as well. You know, we would all like to be at peace with all men. In fact, you quote this verse, this is from the King James, but it, you quote this same verse in your book in Romans chapter 12. We quote Romans chapter 12 very often, but we typically quote verse 1 and maybe verse 2, which of course says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, they present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable, perfect will of God. And rightfully so, we quote those verses and look for that transforming power of God in our life. But later on, is down in that same chapter, in verse 18, it says, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. And as you were just saying, you know, sometimes we get that first part of it down, but I don't know if we've really given as much thought to the horizontal relational issues that we face and bringing the gospel to bear on those things as well. Is that basically the point you were making?
Oh, absolutely, Kevin. I think you're right on with that. You know, the verse 18 is so utterly realistic, and I just appreciate the realism there. The call there is for us to pursue peace. There's no guarantee that the other person, you know, the old expression, it takes two to tango.
Mm-hmm.
No guarantee the other person will respond. You know, the text says, if it is possible, recognizing the realism here of God's word. But the call for us, in light of the mercy of God, as you pointed out, is for us to pursue peace and do all that God calls us to do, and then we have to leave the results into God's hands.
Mm. The fact, then, that we have been saved by the Lord, that's as you were assuming just a few moments ago, that many people in our listening audience have had that same work of God done in their heart as well. That becomes the foundation, then, to be able to seek peace with others. That's the underlying point that I got out of the first chapter of your book. Is that correct?
Yes, yes, yes. We really have to start all our thinking on any horizontal topic, whether it's marriage or any ethical, relational components of our life. We've got to start with God and his work. And the good news, as you said at the beginning of the broadcast, is while conflict is very common in all our lives, when I speak on this subject, I like to remind people that, you know, as a writer and speaker on the subject, I've done intensive research, Kevin, and my conclusion is that approximately one out of one people have conflict. And then I'll go on to say, and if you're married, then the stats double. It's two out of two people. But it really is true that, and if you have a church of 200 people, then you've got 200 people who have experienced conflict. And so God is the one who starts to help for us here. And I just get excited when I think about the power of the Spirit of God and the gospel truths.
Now, since you've worked with so many different organizations and churches in particular, let me put you on the spot and ask you to grade the evangelical churches today on how well they have dealt with conflicts that come up in the church. What grade would you give to the churches as a whole?
Yeah, that's a great question. No one's asked you that, Kevin. I'm a tough professor, my students tell me. So what kind of grade, you know? We've got a B or a C, you know. Thankfully that there are many churches, and increasingly so, I think, who are recognizing the importance of pastoral care and at places church discipline. But sometimes we don't really deal with conflict until it gets to that that extreme level, and then maybe churches are learning to deal with conflict and restorative discipline. But my concern is the dailies. My concern are the relationships. And I want to say this, too. You're asking about the church in general. I think we as pastors have not done a sufficient job in our own relationships, let alone in how we're shepherding and teaching and counseling our members. So, yeah, we've got a lot of work to do as a Church of Jesus. We've recovered the gospel. You know, we've won the fundamentalism modernist debate of the early 20th century. And now we have to learn how to take that powerful, sufficient Bible and bring it into the lives of one another in our relationships.
Hmm. I didn't want to get ahead of myself here on this question, but it's on my mind, and the way my mind works, I better ask it now before I forget about it. But let me ask this. In the nouthetic counseling scheme, and I saw that you have a background in nouthetic counseling as well, when we talk about counseling folks, and if we counsel someone who is not a Christian, we talk about then doing something that is called pre-counseling. And this is a basic statement that is made. I don't know if it accurately reflects the true sentiment from the nouthetic counseling folks. But the idea would be that if you're helping somebody who is outside of Christ with a conflict, that you're basically putting a Band-Aid on the solution that their real issue is their relationship with Christ. So they talk about pre-counseling, which is basically evangelism. Do you do that same thing in your ministry as well as a peacemaker? Do you counsel folks that are not believers and try to bring reconciliation in their situations?
Yeah, you're asking a good question because and there's some semantic discussions within the world of biblical counseling as to what exactly we mean by whether we counsel or don't counsel. I'm actually fine personally as I think about the scriptures. I'm fine with talking about even counseling unbelievers because what I'm doing is I'm bringing believers or unbelievers closer to Jesus Christ. So it's kind of a semantic thing probably on the language within biblical counseling. But let me address the bigger question you're asking. With an unbeliever, that person lacks at least two things, I think we would agree. One is they lack the power to change. They lack the power of the Holy Spirit. And then secondly, they don't have the authority of Jesus as their Lord and the Scripture as their standard to live by. And that does present a challenge. When people come to me who are not Christians, whether it's for general counseling issues or conflict relationships, I certainly want to show my care and concern, and I don't mind giving, and I try to give some basic counsel to them, of course, on how to live right and better. That's what they're looking for. That's their presenting question. You know, if I immediately took them to, you know, a gospel presentation, I might lose them. But I do concurrently always try to talk about how these conflicts that you're facing with your spouse or with your friend is really coming from your own heart. And I'd love to be able to share with you, my friend, what it is that Jesus says and what Jesus offers and how Christ can forgive the heart that leads to this demandingness and how Christ can empower you through his Holy Spirit if you would turn to him, repent, and believe and follow Jesus Christ. So there's a wonderful evangelistic opportunity that we have in conflict counseling.
Let me remind our listening audience, we're speaking with Dr. Robert Jones about his book called Pursuing Peace, A Christian Guide to Handling Our Conflicts. You're certainly welcome to participate in the program today, 1-888-660-WLFJ. That's 1-888-660-9535. Also, email is up and running, and I have received a few comments already, and you're certainly welcome to do that during the program today. The email address is very simply just kevin@knowingthetruth.org. That's K-E-V-I-N at knowingthetruth, all one word, .org. By the way, with an issue like this, a lot of times people would like their question to remain anonymous. So if you have a question about a conflict that you're going through and you don't want me to give your name, I won't do that. I did it the other day on the program. Somebody had called in and wanted to be anonymous, so I'm certainly aware of that, and I will do that during the broadcast today. Just mention that in your email if you shoot me an email, and I won't mention your name on the broadcast. Let me say that in Dr. Jones' book, at the end of each one of the chapters, there is a section for personal reflection or group discussion, and at the end of the first chapter, he talks about how should recognizing our previous hostile state against God and our present reconciled state with God change the way that we as Christians relate each day to the people around us? So we've been talking about that aspect of this already. He talked about recalling God's four peace provisions in this chapter as well. The peace provisions are these: that God made relational peace between him and us at the cross. God enables us to pursue relational peace with others. God gives us his inner peace in our hearts. And God guarantees future global situational peace when Jesus returns. Those are excellent points. And from that as a foundation, we can then move on through the book in order to look at how we can deal with individual circumstances that take place in our life. Dr. Jones, in Chapter 2, then, you talk about having a God's eye view of the conflict. What do you mean by that?
Well, as in every area of our life, I think, Kevin, the way we look at something will dictate how we treat it and how we respond to it. And so I am encouraging us in that chapter to think about what a set of God glasses, a biblical lens would look like as we look at conflict, and to see that truly it is inevitable. You will face conflict, and expect that to happen. And then the second point there is to realize that they are sinful, and therefore we need to resolve them. We need to deal with them, and God calls us to do that, and of course, as we've said already today, he empowers us by his Spirit. And then the third thing is to realize, and I just want to credit my dear friend, mentor, Ken Sandy, with Peacemaker Ministries, with the whole notion of conflict as an opportunity. And it's something not to be fled, but something to be pursued. And how can I seek to grow in Christ and minister to other people in the midst of this conflict? So having the right set of glasses is crucial here.
In the first part of that second chapter, you make the point that conflict is inevitable. We are going to have conflict with the folks that I pastor at Mountain Ridge Bible Fellowship in Traveler's Rest. We often talk about that the Christian life is lived on a battlefield. It just is. And if you don't realize that, he's got plenty of supporting verses in that first part of the second chapter, Dr. Jones does, to make that point. And that is just a fact. And so we've got to move on from there. The second point, though, that you bring out in this chapter is to realize that conflicts are sinful and therefore resolve them. Talk about and expound that issue for us a little bit, if you would, please.
Well, because of the first point, the inevitability of conflict, it's so real and we all experience it, the temptation is to give up. Say, well, that's just the way it is, or that's just the way I am, and that's the way life is, and, you know, I can't change. And it can be very discouraging, the recognition of conflict. And so the call here is to realize God not only commands us, but God enables and empowers us to be able to make a change and not just settle for life as it is right now.
You point out in your book, too, that a number of verses that point to this, where the apostles and mostly the apostles in their letters speak to us about resolving conflict. It says, let me read the opening statement to this list of verses. It says, Christ's apostles echoed the same need for active, diligent, immediate effort. Note the urgency and energy required in their commands about dealing with this conflict and doing something about it. He says this in Acts 24:16, so I strive always to keep my conscience clear before God and man. Romans chapter 12, I've already read that one, but if it is possible, as far as depends on you, live at peace with everyone. I love the way that's worded, because you're not responsible for somebody else's actions, but you are responsible for your own thoughts and words and deeds and actions before the Lord. And so as much as it depends upon us, we need to live at peace with everyone. Romans 14:19, let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification. Ephesians 4:3, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. 2 Timothy 2:22, flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness and faith and love and peace along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. And then this final one in Hebrews 12:14, make every effort to live at peace with all men and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. We quote that verse very often, without holiness, no one will see the Lord. But I don't hear the first part of that quoted quite as often. There's a very practical application to that, that we should be seeking peace with all men as much as possible. Let me remind our listening audience, we're speaking with our special guest today, Dr. Robert Jones, about his book, Pursuing Peace. When we come back from the break, we're going to speak with Dr. Jones about realizing that conflicts are opportunities. I bet you never thought about your conflict that way, right? You get in a conflict, a relational conflict, and you say, oh, wow, this is a great opportunity. Well, there's actually a way to look at it this way. We're going to talk about that when we come back from the break. Again, the book is called Pursuing Peace. I am giving away copies of the book today on the radio program for your participation. 1-888-660-WLFJ. We'll be back in just a couple moments. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. For more information about today's program, the radio ministry, and the resources we offer, go to www.knowingthetruth.org.
On the next edition of the Mike Huckabee Show, the tables are turned. That's right. Larry King has interviewed thousands of people over the years. He gets interviewed right here on the Mike Huckabee Show. We'll talk to the king of interviewers about his long and storied career. And we'll also discuss, do the parents of killers have something to do with what happened? Or is it unfair to even involve them in all of this? You don't want to miss it. The Mike Huckabee Show, the next edition.
Weekdays at noon on Christian Talk 660 and 92.9 FM.
After I came home from the war, I lost everything. My job, my family, but this place, this is where I started to put my life back together.
A few weeks ago, my husband of 47 years had a stroke. I'm staying here in this room while he recovers. Without this place, I don't know what I'd do.
At Volunteers of America, we envision a world where everyone has a place to call home.
12 years my family lived in that house, then it was gone, washed away in a flood. We were on the street. The day we came here, that's when I knew we could make it.
But it's not just about having a place to call home. It's about improving lives. Through our programs and support, our promise and hope, we work so that no one will be left behind. After all, who are we as a society if we don't help those who need it the most? To help strengthen your community, visit volunteersofamerica.org.
Don't we all want solid biblical resources we can trust when it comes to faith and family issues? Shepherd Press certainly qualifies. Shepherd Press is committed to providing God's people with solid biblical books and materials. They focus on heart issues rather than performance issues, authentic change that works from the inside out. At Shepherd Press, you'll find books, articles, and a regularly updated blog that will provide a forum for ongoing discussion of issues related to parenting and Christian living. For more information, go to shepherdpress.com.
Welcome back to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Information regarding the resources referenced on today's program can be found at www.knowingthetruth.org. Now, here to continue with today's program is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome back into the second half of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. We're going to go back to our discussion with Dr. Robert D. Jones in just a moment about his book, Pursuing Peace. But I wanted to give you just a quick information here about an event that's taking place right here in the upstate of South Carolina. In fact, very close here to the studio. It's with Chick-fil-A. A couple things related to Chick-fil-A. You may be aware of the current controversy. The controversy is not on Chick-fil-A's part. I don't think that Dan Cathy really did anything to bring this controversy upon him. He didn't say all that much. He just said that they were a family-friendly organization, and all of a sudden it caught the ire of the homosexual activist community, and they set their sights on him. A Boston mayor said he wouldn't allow then Chick-fil-A to come into Boston. He was going to try to not give them a business license. By the way, I've listened to some conversations about this on the airwaves there, on the talking heads, on a number of different news programs, and even the liberal groups are saying that this Boston mayor is out of bounds, that he has no jurisdiction to do anything like that just because this private organization, they hold their own opinions and views about things, and they shouldn't be punished in this way by not allowing them to have a business license. They certainly wouldn't like that if it was a Christian mayor and he decided not to allow non-Christian companies to come to their area, into their city. So it's just ridiculous, his response there, and I think that many people are rightfully saying so. It's a great organization. They've really been a real help to a number of people, especially here in the South. But let me tell you about a really good event that they're putting on at the Pelham Road location. It's going to be on this Saturday night. This Saturday night, that's Saturday, July 28th, they're having a boys' night at Chick-fil-A on Pelham Road. And this is an activity-filled overnight father and son campout at Chick-fil-A. It will feature cornhole. I think that that's the game where you toss those beanbags, you know, into the hole. And they're going to have basketball. They're going to have football, frisbee, putting greens, movies, s'mores roasting, a pitching cage from the Greenville Drive baseball team, and more are going to take place. It starts at 9:30 p.m. at Chick-fil-A on Pelham Road this Saturday night, and it goes till 7 a.m. on Sunday. Now, I like to add a little caution there that that Chick-fil-A didn't put in their poster, but this does not exempt you from church on Sunday morning. Let me just make sure that's crystal clear to everybody in our listening audience. Come, you can sleep during the service. A lot of people seem to find that a convenient place to sleep. I'm joking. But anyways, come on Chick-fil-A on Pelham Road. They're going to you pack your own tents, your sleeping bags, and your other overnight necessities that you need. You're going to be camping out there in the parking lot. There's going to be a lot of fun camping experience, and they'll provide the activity, the beverages, and a Sunday morning snack for the folks that are going to be there. And the special guests that will be there will be the Greenville Drive players are going to be there along with you. So fathers, grandfathers, if you have sons or grandsons that are love baseball and love Chick-fil-A, here's your opportunity to have a wonderful time there. Write this number down. All you need to do is RSVP to this number. Leave your information, your name, and the number of people coming in your camping group at this number. There's a voicemail there, and then you'll be all set to go there on Saturday night. The number is area code 864. That's area code 864-275-3964. That's 275-3964, and you can leave your number there. It's just a great way to and have a wonderful time of enjoyment with your son or grandson. Of course, on August 1st, we'll be participating in that Chick-fil-A day as well. Let's go back to our conversation now with our special guest today, Dr. Robert Jones, and his book, Pursuing Peace. Dr. Jones, just before the break, I was asking you or mentioning that I'd like to go on to the next section in here where it talks about that conflicts can be opportunities. Talk to us a little bit about what you mean by that, and then hopefully we can go through some of the ways that relational conflicts provide these opportunities for us.
Yeah, Kevin, I think that, again, so many times when we face conflict ourselves, it can be just very discouraging. And I imagine there's listeners today who have tried to work on relationships, who've made efforts. There might be a wife listening today or a husband who has made efforts, and those efforts have not panned out very well, and the relationship may have gotten worse. And in those settings, I simply want to remind us that God is in control. God has a plan, an agenda for our lives, and it includes using even the conflict to bring him praise and spotlight him, and also to make us more like Jesus Christ. Because if you think about our Lord Jesus, he did not have a conflict-free life. He lived a life in which he faced much conflict, mm-hmm. and he perfectly pleased God, and he ended up on the cross, and he got killed. So there is no absolute guarantee, but in the midst of the conflict, God is designing that conflict to make us more and more like Jesus, and then help other people. People are watching us, others in our churches, our family members, our friends. They're watching how we handle it, and it's a wonderful ministry to other Christians, but also an evangelistic opportunity.
I make mention of this often, that the Scripture says that always be ready to give an answer to those who come to thee for the hope that lieth in you, you know, to be able to articulate that to them, the hope that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Scripture tells us to be prepared for that. But I ask people very often, why is nobody coming and asking? Why nobody seems to be coming up to us and saying, you know, what is the hope that lies in you? And the reason is, I've concluded in my own life and in others, is that we are reacting to situations in the same way as everybody else around us is reacting to the situation. And therefore, we're losing this opportunity to display the gospel message and the power, the empowering of the Lord Jesus Christ in our life. If we respond differently, believe me, people will notice. When you are offended or somebody does something to you and the general or normal reaction to that would be for you to fly off the handle, for you to defend yourself, for you to claim your rights and these types of things. If you do something differently, people will notice. You will stand out in this society today and will have an opportunity to display and even share the gospel message. Also, it says in the scripture in Romans chapter 8 that we know all things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to his purpose. And if we really believe that, then even the conflict with our sovereign Lord in his providence, he has brought even this conflict into our life. And it's actually through these types of events that the gospel is conveyed to the people round about us. Dr. Jones, you talk in the second point under this that relational conflicts give us an opportunity to become more like Christ. So not only an opportunity to present the gospel, but to be transformed more and more into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Explain to us how.
Well, think of godly character qualities that God wants to develop in each one of us. Humility. There's nothing more humbling for you and I in a conflict situation to do some self-examination and recognize that I've contributed to this by my attitudes or by my actions or by my inactions. Or think of character qualities like forbearance and patience and endurance and learning to show mercy toward others. Conflict is a ripe opportunity for you and I to learn, how do I show mercy to someone else? Think of the character qualities of wisdom. The challenge that we face when we're not sure how to handle this situation and we cry out to God or we search the scriptures or we go to our pastors and our small group leaders and other godly, mature men and women in our lives and how do I handle this? Well, they're just three examples of the kind of character qualities that God is trying to develop, and he's doing it in that laboratory called conflict. And you even mentioned, you referenced the passage in Peter about giving an answer to those who ask. Well, that's in the context of conflict,
mm-hmm.
that Peter is addressing his people, conflict with those who are opposed to the gospel.
I think we would be surprised to realize how much of the New Testament is written in light of conflict in the church. Would you agree?
Oh, I would. You know, we can think of, I don't know how many weddings that your readers, your listeners have been to this year, but you've probably seen 1 Corinthians 13 on a wedding program.
Yes.
You know, that's just not about romantic love, is it? It is all about conflict within the church, and that's where we need to learn to cultivate that kind of love.
Mm-hmm. We were just talking about that recently with another author as we were going through Jonathan Edwards. Looking at that issue of charity and specifically 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and all that's mentioned there, you're right, we've kind of turned it into a placard or a cross stitch or something and relegated it to just flowery words. But really, when we examine it, it's a powerful passage about how to deal with people, relational issues, about how to respond to people in a number of different situations. Number three under that God's eyes view in this particular point here about us, these things being good for us, relational conflicts give us opportunities to love and minister to others, both those with whom we have a conflict and those who are watching. So this is very important, right, that we get an opportunity to not just define the gospel like we normally do in our services and declare the gospel like we do in our preaching, but we actually get an opportunity to display the gospel in the way that we deal with this conflict. Would you agree?
People are watching us. people are watching us, and when you see two people who are having conflict, our own curiosity gets aroused. We want to know how that story ends. Whether you're watching on TV or a movie, there's some kind of tension. You kind of want to know where this is going, how it's going to end. And I think that's true with our relationships. People are watching the way we handle it. And, you know, if you're a leader, of course, this gets ramped up to a very high degree of importance. But even if you're not a leader in a church setting, with your children, with your friends, you have a great opportunity to minister to other people by learning how to handle conflict well. And I know I've been encouraged over the years by godly men and women in my church where I pastored and where I'm pastoring as an associate pastor now. I get very encouraged when I see the people of God handling conflict in God's ways. It energizes me. It gives me confidence. Reminds me the Spirit of God is still working. And so it's a great reason for us to pursue peace with other people.
Amen. There's nothing more encouraging to church leadership than to see grace displayed in the life of the people that they're shepherding. I made mention to the book of Philemon often during this week of broadcasting, and this is what Paul is looking for in Philemon. He wants to see grace on display in his life. A situation comes up, a conflict between him and his runaway slave Onesimus, and Paul is looking for grace in the life of Philemon. And praise the Lord, it appears that that situation did work out. We find out later from church history that slaves were allowed into membership there at the church at Colossae. That was one of the first churches where slaves had that type of standing in the church. Can you imagine the picture that this gave in the church? Well, you have Philemon and Onesimus holding the same hymnal in the same pew, and they're singing praises unto God there in the church. What a sermon is preached from that particular imagery that's given to us there in that wonderful little book in the New Testament Scripture.
Very powerful.
Let me remind our listening audience, we're speaking with Dr. Robert Jones. Pursuing Peace is the title of his book. I highly recommend you get a copy of this. Get a copy for yourself. Make sure your pastor has a copy as well. Get a copy for your church library. I think it would be great for you to have a copy of this in your church library as well. You're going to need it, my friend. You're going to need to understand how do we handle conflicts in a biblical manner. You can win a free copy here on the program today. I will have it mailed right to your home. Send me an email if you participate in the program with your question or comment. Just send me an email with your mailing address, and we'll send you out a copy while supplies last on the program today, and that's courtesy of the publisher, Crossway. That's www.crossway.org, and you can go out there to find out more about this book as well. We do have a toll-free number set up for you to participate in the program today, 1-888-660-WLFJ. That equates to 1-888-660-9535. That's a toll-free number, good nationwide. Be happy to take your question or comment via the phone as well. Also have email up and running, and the email is very simply just kevin@knowingthetruth.org. Dr. Jones, I wanted to read a couple of the titles from the chapters that are in this book, and then get you to give us a little bit of a synopsis of what people will find in a few of these chapters. Obviously, we just won't have an opportunity on the program today to go through the entire book or, you know, all of these points, but people will just have to get a copy to see exactly what's there. But let me, we've talked already about a couple of the opening chapters that deal with finding hope in the God of peace and a God's eye view of conflict. And even we've alluded to the fact about keeping God central. Those are the opening three chapters of this book. But what about this one? The fourth chapter says, getting to the heart of our conflicts. I've often used the illustration, a fishing illustration, in order to talk about how difficult it is to get to the core issue in a conflict. From fishing, as a young boy, very often, I would get a little knot in my line, and I would ignore it and because I wanted to keep fishing. And pretty soon, this knot became this, what I referred to as a bird's nest on my line. And you couldn't tell how to untangle this thing. It became so interwoven. And eventually, I would end up just cutting the line and restringing the sinker and the hook on a new line there. But sometimes conflicts seem like that. They become this bird's nest of he said, she said information in this conflict. Speak to us then. How do we get to the heart of what the real issue of the conflict is all about?
I think there's a flow in the book, and I believe it's a biblical flow that we see in the scriptures in many ways. And the flow of the book is, as we've already said earlier, Kevin, that we start with God, we look at God, we seek to please God in that situation. But then God would have us then to look at ourselves next, not the other person yet, but look at ourselves and ask the question, how have I contributed to this? Where have I brought about some of the things here that I'm suffering here? So the self-exam questions that are really the next couple chapters, the first is looking at my heart, and by that I mean my beliefs and my motives, my desires, my what I'm living for, what I'm treasuring in my heart, and that then leads to my behavior. Jesus told us that it's out of the overflow of the heart that the mouth speaks.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to start with the heart, examine your heart, and we deal with that and the demands that produce conflict, and then we look at our behavior, and we need to look at the planks in our own eye, and that's the next couple chapters that you're referring to.
Chapter 5 talks about owning our own sin before God, our God and our Savior. There's a lot of blame shifting that takes place in our society today. I did what I did because somebody else did this to me. Talk to us, just summarize that chapter for us, if you could, please.
Oh, Kevin, I just see it in my own life. You know, James will ask the question, James 4:1, you know, what causes fights and quarrels among you? And his answer is, don't they come from your desires that battle within you? But unfortunately, I think I and most of us tend to answer that differently. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from my wife, my children, my church members, my church leaders, my job, my boss? And we miss the fact that God has an agenda for me in the midst of conflict, and that's where I have to, you know, I start with God, but then I have to immediately start looking at my own self. And there's joy here. There's sorrow and there's grief, and it gets pretty ugly when you're honest with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But the joy comes as we confess that and we own that and we let the forgiveness and power of Christ wash over us.
Mm. Chapter 6 says apologizing that makes a difference. My daughter actually had on her wall at one point many years ago, but she had on her wall, don't mess up an apology with an excuse. So we need to understand what is a legitimate apology.
Yes, you know, biblically we need to think much more than saying, you know, my bad, or, hey, I'm sorry about that, or that's just the way I am. No, we really have to stop and think about what a godly apology looks like. And I do think that Matthew 7, when Jesus teaches about the planks in our own eye, is a good starting place biblically. And from that, we then move into specifics of how we actually need to go to that person. First, of course, to God, and then to the other people that we've offended.
Mm-hmm. You talk about, I'm skipping one chapter there just for time's sake, but move down to the chapter 8, speaks about to forgive or not to forgive. We were just talking about this subject on the radio program the other day, just the folly of unconditional forgiveness. This was in the wake of what happened in Colorado there, and people just, Christians that articulated on various news stories that we should just go ahead and all forgive the shooter for what he has done. And we're just talking about how that's really not a biblical concept. We understand there's a lot of pain associated with that, but they should be gently instructed that that's really not what the Bible says about forgiveness. You're not using it in a biblical sense. So you got a chapter here that says to forgive or not to forgive. What do you mean by that?
Well, I think as I wrestled with that same question you're talking about, and not just I, but we in the biblical counseling world and biblical peacemaking world, as we've wrestled with that, I see a tension in the scriptures, and I see this coming out in a lot of the writers in a good way, and I'm so appreciative. I have a little appendix that addresses that in a little, slightly more technical, not Greek and Hebrew technical, but just a little more, giving some views there. I do think there's a tension in the scripture. I do think there is a kind of forgiveness that is indeed a kind of forgiveness that is unconditional, in that I am responsible to deal before God with my bitterness. I cannot exact revenge against someone. I have to entrust people into God's hands. I have to be kind and compassionate even toward my enemies. But I think the point you're getting is that there's also a kind of forgiveness here that indeed is conditional, that for me to be able to look at someone and to reconnect relationally with them and to be able to say, all is well, my friend, we are reconciled, that does require, in the cases of severe sins, serious breaches, that does require repentance on the other person's end. And we end the book, actually, with some counsel. What about those people who are unforgiving? How do we minister to them, and what does God call us to do? So we do end with a challenge there. What does it look like to love your enemy, to do good to that person, to bless that person, to pray for that person?
Mm-hmm.
So you're onto something there.
I got to ask you a quick question. You only have about a minute or a little bit more to answer it. But our listener writes this, and she says, how should we deal with the situation where people leave a local church because of something that has offended them, and they may not have made an attempt to go through biblical steps to resolve the problem? She says, I'm asking this question just as a regular church member in the pew, not from the perspective of church leadership. How do we deal with that?
I do think that if we see ourselves as a local church, as a body, as we are members, we are families, this is a brother and a sister in my life who's left the church, I do believe God is calling both leaders and shepherds, pastors, as well as the members of the family to make an effort to pursue that person, and where possible to try to deal with the complaints directly, if not to be a peacemaker and link that departing member back to the leader in the church where the person might have the conflict. You become then that mediator and conciliator. It's a wonderful thing to be able to do.
Amen. Well, Dr. Jones, thank you very much for being on the program today. We really appreciate you writing this book. I think it's going to be a tremendous help in the church, and I pray that the Lord would bless it that way to reconcile thousands of conflicts that are taking place, that people would turn to a work like this, which turns us to the Word of God, independence upon God Himself, in order to work out these situations for His glory and our good. So thank you very much.
Thank you for the opportunity to encourage the people of God today.
Okay. Thank you very much, sir. That was Dr. Robert Jones, and he's done a wonderful work of putting this book together. It's called Pursuing Peace, A Christian Guide to Handling Our Conflicts. You can go out to Crossway's website in order to see more about this book. Those of you that wrote in that I wove your question into the discussion today, as long as you sent me the mailing address there, I will go ahead and make sure that you get a copy of this book sent out to you as well. So Crossway's website is www.crossway.org. That's www.crossway.org. As we see here, this is such a vital issue that is needed in our church today and in our homes and in our workplaces. It will have dramatic ramification, I think, in the lives of the people of God. So it's something that we've got to learn how to handle it biblically, Christ-centered, practically, in this method. Remember this. The Lord Jesus Christ said that you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We'll see you next time, right here on Knowing the Truth.
You've been listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Travelers Rest. For more information about the church and radio ministry, visit us on the web at knowingthetruth.org.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or Clear Channel Communications.
Changing, teaching, and talk. Christian Talk 660. WLFJ Greenville, Spartanburg, Anderson on AM 660. And now also on FM 92.9.